Well, welcome into today's Health Talk. I'm Tony Abate, and I'm joined today by Amanda Fisher of Healthy Nevada, David Taylor, one of the psychiatrists at NRMC, and also Jennifer Gundy of On My Own. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
And we've got a very special talk today about mental health in seniors and those with disabilities.
Yes, what we're doing as part of the Healthy Nevada Mental Health Committee is having a different topic each month. And this month we wanted to focus on mental health as it relates to individuals who have mental health issues or who also are disabled. And so we thought what better way than to have Dr. Taylor, who's a psychiatrist at Nevada Regional Medical Center, as well as Jennifer Gundy, who is our executive director at On My Own Incorporated, and they could share their insights with us as it relates to their roles there. So I wanted to talk about how important mental health is in a person's overall physical health, and our goal is to just start conversations about mental health. And so I wanted to start off by asking both of you if you could tell us about some risk factors for depression in senior citizens and for people who have disabilities. What should people be looking for? What are some risk factors for depression?
One of the primary risk factors for depression is family history. If there is a history of family medical problems or mental health problems, they often occur in family lines. So people who have relatives with one problem frequently have others with the same problem. Other things, as people get older, we tend to have more losses. So grief, loss of a spouse, loss of children, loss of job, retirement, a perceived loss of identity if you lose your job, those are all things that increase a person's risk for developing adjustment problems, stress-related problems, or depression. Comorbid mental health or medical problems, such as people sometimes accumulate as we get older, hypertension, heart disease, cancer, COPD, communicable illnesses, all tend to increase the risk of depression or other mental health problems. Also, people who are on multiple medications from multiple providers frequently have a greater risk of medically induced depressive syndromes or other mental health syndromes, not because they have a primary mental illness, but because of all the drug interactions or drug medical condition interactions. So those things need to be screened for very carefully.
Absolutely. So how does a person know, in your experience, how do you know if it's a mental health issue versus aging? What's the difference, and how does someone decipher that out?
People who are just getting older and who don't have any history of mental health problems don't tend to be at a higher risk for developing mental health problems as we get older. So just because we're getting older doesn't mean we're going to develop mental health problems or dementia or cognitive decline. There are those predisposing risk factors we talked about, as well as lifestyle changes or problems such as smoking, excessive alcohol use, drug abuse, abuse of prescription medications. All of those things increase the risk of mental health problems or mental health presentations. The basic thing that you look for to determine whether something is a new problem or a recurrence of an old problem is the history. It's uncommon for a person to develop psychosis in their 80s. That usually means it's a medical problem that hasn't been diagnosed or treated. And also, the basic thing you look for is changes from normal. If a person's normal level of functioning is at level A, if that deteriorates over time to another level and is uncommon for them, that's an onset of something, either medical or mental or both.
Okay. So this is a question for both of you. What suggestions do you have for either the person who might be experiencing signs and symptoms, or if the loved ones are noticing signs and symptoms? What are some things that you would suggest to them?
Well, with loved ones, it can be a big transition as you know, your parents or grandparents are going through the aging process. And I would encourage them to get involved in some support groups, or, you know, we have a lot of different resources that On My Own where they could become involved and seek some help and prolong their life at home and the ability to stay independent as long as possible. That can help with the depression and things, because when people start feeling like they're losing their independence, that can contribute to depression as well. And so helping them stay independent and helping them have other resources or assistance with different devices or different things to help them maintain that independence if at all possible.
And I think that the Healthy Nevada approach is important also, because one of the things that they want to do is to encourage people to not only be physically active but to stay mentally active and community involved. associate with other people, get out of your ordinary routine and do something different, the more we stay mentally active, the more we have, the better chance we have of maintaining our faculties and keeping ourselves physically and mentally stimulated appropriately. Promotes good health and overall better functioning.
Last question, what about caregivers? People who are taking care of loved ones who have a disability or loved ones who are getting older, what are some things that they can do to combat that compassion fatigue in taking care of someone who is has constant needs?
Well, you know, thinking ahead and planning ahead for those loved ones and not waiting until it's already there. So many people, and it's just by accident, you know, that oh my gosh, mom or dad can't take care of themselves anymore. What are we going to do now? Where maybe if they planned ahead and sat down as a family and had those tough discussions as to, okay, when your health starts failing, do you want to stay in your own home? Or do you want to go to a nursing home? Or is it okay if we hire someone to come in your home and help you with cleaning your house or fixing some meals or taking you to the store because you can't drive anymore or things like that? And have those active discussions with your loved ones before it's on top of you and right there in the moment. And being proactive in those types of situations can really be helpful, I think, to family members and can help those caregivers when it's actually the time to be looking at those resources and those extra helps.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Yes, I would strongly encourage those, and I have taken care of my parents and my spouses and other people who have passed, and it's been difficult. Forgive yourself for not being perfect. You cannot meet everyone's every need every moment.
Absolutely.
You also have to have time for you. It's all right to take care of you so you can take care of them. You don't have to feel guilty because they're ill. It's all right to feel angry because they're ill. It's not your fault that they're ill, but you don't want them to be. So that caregiver anger sometimes makes people feel guilty that they've failed, and they haven't. They're just being human. And that's all we can do for each other is to be there and help each other, but take care of ourselves too.
Absolutely.
That's a very good point. And there are services called respite, mm-hmm, that can give you a break.